Goodman. No?
Goodman Lee.
Goodman Lee. Yeah. With Mr. Leonard Rudolph, it is August 10th, and this is our third session with Mr. Rudolph. Mr. Rudolph, can you say a few words? The 8th? Is the 8th?
You're rushing us.
The 8th. Okay. Mr. Rudolph, could you say a few words?
What are you going to talk?
That's good.
Oh, you're just testing right now. Oh, okay. Well, we've tested.
Mr. Rudolph, I'm a little curious as to, you said that you had enjoyed your service years, the 4 years that you were in the service.
Yes.
Can you elaborate a little bit on that? You also said that your title was ground administrator. I'm not sure what that is.
I was in Air Force Administration.
Okay. Can you tell us what your duties were and a little bit more about your time there. You were there during an exciting time.
Well, I wasn't exciting particularly for me as far as the war was concerned, because I never left the States. I was in the States for over 4 years, from coast to coast, in the Air Force Administration, where I was when I was finally discharged in 1946 as a captain in reserve. But I was fortunate in that I never saw any combat duty, and I was in a position where we sort of had a lot of fun. It wasn't real hard duty. So it was a pleasant 4 years.
What were your...
I was in Florida, I was in New York, I was in California for a long time. Better part of the 4 years. My duties were to, was that what you asked? Mm-hmm. My duties were to work with the young cadets who were coming in, learning to fly. And we would do the groundwork with them. We would do their physical fitness program. We would do some of their ground subjects that they were studying. But that's who we worked with. We worked with the young cadets.
Did you actually fly yourself?
No, I was not a pilot, no. Flew a lot in the Air Force and with friends who were pilots. But I was not a pilot, no.
Did you experience any anti-Semitism or anything like that?
I think there was a certain amount of it, but it wasn't too prevalent. The group that I was with, we didn't encounter too much of that at all.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, that was very good. No, we really didn't.
Were you aware of what was happening in Europe with the Jewish community? Or were you not aware of that until after?
We were not aware of it to any great extent, very honestly, unfortunately. We were not. And as I think back, I really can't think of any instances where it was prevalent, you know, or where it reared its ugly head.
Do you know, on leave, when you would come back to Pittsburgh, do you know if the community was aware of what was going on here?
What was going on as far as anti-Semitism was concerned? No, I don't think so.
And I'd like to...
I didn't get a feeling of it, anyhow, in the short periods that I was spent back here.
Okay. I'd also like to go a step back just a little bit. We know how you got started, and we know how your children, what your children are doing. Could you tell me what your sisters did in terms of work? Do they have any careers? Did they have any careers?
No, not professional careers, no.
And your brother...
My brother, yeah. No, he had no professional career either. We were all business people.
And where are they now?
Well, my brother passed away about almost 4 years ago. My two sisters are in Palm Beach in Florida. They retired there maybe 20 years ago.
During your summer vacations as a child growing up, did you attend camps or... take family vacations or anything like that?
We took a few little family vacations. No, I didn't attend any camps. I was a depression boy. And there were certain things that we, luxuries that we couldn't afford.
You said that your children did attend camps.
And, yes.
Could you give us the names of the camps that your children attended?
My sons went to Brenonia. That's located in Maine, and my daughter went to a camp in Maine too. I can't think of it. just off the top of my head, but she was a camper in May also.
I'd also like to talk a little bit about, not many people have experienced this, your first mission in 1963 to North Africa. Can you tell us a little bit about what you actually experienced and felt while you were there?
That was, you got a strong feeling of Israel, of course, at that time. That was the purpose of going there, to see the people who were moving from Casablanca and different places in Africa to Israel. And we were in Marseille. We spent a couple of days in Marseille, where it was the port where they were leaving. And it was very interesting. We learned a lot. We got a different insight into what was going on, particularly in Israel, and how the people were moving there. We were in Vienna, and they were coming in from Romania into Vienna. It was a transfer station there, from there we went on into Israel. So we got to see a lot of that, and of course I understood a lot more of what was going on, what the problem was.
Could you elaborate on
that? We didn't go into Israel. Well, we didn't go into Israel that particular trip. Mm-hmm. We didn't get to Israel until 2 years later. But in that particular trip, we didn't get into Israel. And what we saw was what I just described to you. We just saw the people being moved from their country, whatever it might have been, Romania, North Africa, and to Israel. And there were quite a few of them. Large movement at that time.
Okay. Did people seem oppressed to you, or anxious, or excited, or what was the mood of the immigrants?
I don't know. It's been so long now since we were there. I would say they were somber. You know, they were being uprooted from their homes, although they were. It was certainly persecution where they came from. It was very poor living conditions, but they didn't know any better, you know. But it was a change for them, and any change is always difficult.
Could you elaborate?
And particularly, you had to understand the ones coming from North Africa were more of a black population of course, what Israel had seen before, it was strange. And we saw that when we got to Israel in 1965.
Was there an acceptance of that, of that population?
I would say, in Israel? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say they accept them very well, just as they've done with the Russians today.
So you saw no prejudice in Israel?
No, I'm sure there was some, but nothing too obvious.
Could you just elaborate a little bit on the differences between Israel then and now? Obviously, there are more buildings.
There are more people. There are more headaches. There's more terrorism today. There's more of the good and the bad. The difference that we saw is just like two different countries, of course. It was only, 15 years old, and today it's 50 years old. So there's a tremendous difference, of course.
What I'd like to now touch upon is your involvement in Jewish organization and Jewish communal life. I mean, obviously you have quite a reputation.
I don't know where I got it. It's not deserving.
I know that you had said that you got involved in the Jewish community because you were Jewish, and there were many Jewish people that do not get involved. So there's obviously a giving in your character to want to do and to want to help. Was there any one thing that actually brought you into the into the organization life, or into the life of the organization?
I don't know, it's very hard to pinpoint one thing that brought me in. I was trying to think back, you know, and I thought the first meeting that I attended was at Lester Hamburg's home, in the basement of his home. It was fundraising for young adults. And that was, it seems to me, from where I picture where I lived at that time, that it was shortly after the war that that happened. And then there wasn't much involvement for the next 10 years or so, probably, until the late 50s. And somehow I get back into it and like what I saw and thought, you know, that I could help. And it just grew, and just continued to grow. The involvement continued to grow. And I saw that we were doing good things, and Israel was growing, and the American Heart Pittsburgh Jewish community was growing. Our campaigns were growing. So it was gratifying.
is the UJF the center of your organization involvement?
I would say it is. It's all stemmed from my original involvement in the Federation.
And can you tell us a little bit about the other organizations that you're involved in?
Oh, I don't know. Today, my involvement has lessened a great deal. I mean, and my active involvement, not my feeling or anything like that. I still have the same feeling for it. But state your question again.
The other organizations that you have belonged to over the years. Or
I don't
that
know.
You were
over the years, sure, I can go from Jewish organizations you're talking about. I don't know. I was on JCC board. I was any number of boards. I was Chronicle, Israel, still in Israel Bonds. And I'm still on a lot of these. I'm a life trustee at Montefiore. I'm a life trustee at Federation. At Montefiore Hospital, which is now, of course, Jewish Healthcare Foundation. And that membership on the board is carried over. All those who are members of the Montefiore board are members of our trustees of the Jewish Healthcare Foundation. And I was on the CJF, which is the National Council of Jewish Federations board. It was on the Anti-Jewish Appeal. I was vice chairman, national vice chairman. I don't know. There have been any number of them.
What keeps you involved? What keeps you involved?
Being Jewish. Jewish people. I have a very strong tendency to favor, I shouldn't probably say that, but I have a strong tendency to favor anything Jewish as opposed to non-Jewish. That's our heritage. We were born that way, and we're going to die that way, whether we think we are or not, but we are.
Were your parents involved in organizational life?
A little bit. My father was active at the congregation at Beth Shalom. He was one of the charter members. I might have mentioned that, but I don't know. My mother was active in... She wasn't real active. She was raising four kids. You know, how active could she have been? But she was in your organization. She was a life member. I got a kick out of it. There was a little booklet in 1912 that was published by the Federation. It wasn't called the United Jewish Federation, and it was something else, United Jewish, I forget. But they had the list of contributors in 1912, and my father's name was in there for $15, I think, something like that. So maybe I was born into it. I don't know.
And your children obviously show an involvement in
Yeah, well, both my sons have been. My daughter lives in Washington, D.C., and she was active for a while before she got involved with all her children. She gave up her law practice and is staying home to take care of her children, and she's having the fourth right now. So we're awaiting that blessing. But the boys have been very much involved. They both, Jimmy was campaign chairman about 3 years ago, and Billy was this past year, and will be again this year. And Jimmy was chairman of the Exodus campaign that moved all the Russians, you know, into Israel, and did a phenomenal job. And as Billy did this past campaign, his first campaign the Federation's had in about almost 10 years, it's had an increase. It's been slowly declining, and he picked it up this year. So they've been involved. And they still are involved. I mean, they're very involved.
And
a number of other organizations, too, besides Fair Vision.
Such as?
Such as Family House, Vintage, Robert Morris College. I don't know. So many. All I hear is they're going to meetings. They're going to board meetings.
Are there wives involved as well?
No, I would say no.
Was your wife as involved?
She was not as involved, but she was at one time involved, yeah. Yeah, she was the campaign chairman of the Federation, late 60s, I think, early 70s.
Do you see a change in the membership in organizations? Many people today will write a check, but do you see a change in the involvement and the personal involvement?
I personally do, and a lot of people don't agree with me, but I see the younger, next generation. I see quite a few of them. I know I go to board meetings and look around the room, and if Herman Feinberg isn't there, I'm the oldest one there. Mm-hmm. Herman's usually there, though. And it's nice to see the younger people taking over. And my children's generation have taken over. And there's a lot of activity, there's a lot of people involved, so they must be involved, they must be doing something good.
So the younger generation is growing into...
I think they are. I think they've gotten a lot of good people.
Who's the they that got the people involved?
I'd say the Federation has done it.
Mr. Rudolph, can you share some of your perspectives on the changes in the Pittsburgh community?
You mean, for instance, the new campus, the Renaissance change is about to take place?
In the community
physical
as a
change.
Whole. Physical.
Well, we talked about the changes as far as the people who are involved are concerned, mm-hmm. and I express myself in that respect. As far as other changes, the Federation is growing. It's a growing institution. It's remarkable. And the agencies are growing. A lot of them, it's not easy. A lot of them have problems, and their budgets are tight, and they can't give all the service they want to give sometimes. But they're doing a good job. There are all these problems here and there, but basically they're doing a good job. And physically, our Renaissance program, are you familiar with that? Is coming along very nicely. The Yeshiva building has been completed almost a year, and the new JEI building where St. Philomena's Church was will be ready for occupancy by the Community Day School in September, and the Hebrew Institute building, which will become the Yeshiva building, will be ready hopefully in September. And now the big push is on the Menorah Heights, the home that you're familiar with. So these are phenomenal changes that are taking place. The JCC is adding, I forget how many thousands, about 15,000 square feet. And Weinberg Terrace is going to be a tremendous asset to the community. That's the assisted living building. And that's under construction, that's coming along. So I think it's phenomenal what we've done in this city. I don't think you'll see that in any other city.
And you see a future need for all? I mean, you see the Jewish
community. I hope so. Well, I hope so.
Well, the JCC was built before,
The JCC was built, and the new JCC, the addition was, about 12 years ago, I think. And it was built to accommodate 8,000 members, and it's up to 15,000 and growing. I don't know where they get them all from, but it's growing. And a lot of activity goes on there. It's really remarkable what they've done.
So you see, obviously there are people from the suburbs coming in to use the facilities.
Apparently, yeah.
What do you think in terms of the immediate Pittsburgh area or the Square Hill area? Do you see a difference in the Jewish population?
Well, we know people are moving to Fox Chapel. They've moved to Mount Lebanon. It's not growing, and we have a very old population here, as you probably know. I think it's like, I forget what percentage, probably people, 20-some percent are over 62 or 63 years old, and it's not good. That's the worst in the country outside of Florida. And Florida is going to be an old age home anyhow. But we do have a problem, there's no question about it. But we think if you build a better mousetrap, you'll attract the people. That's what it boils down to. You'll get the people more involved than that's something worthwhile. I can tell you that for instance, I know a considerable amount about the day schools, and they're growing. It's interesting that they're growing.
All levels of the day schools, from the conservative to the
Orthodox?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And the synagogues have, Hebrew schools today that didn't have them before. So there's some reason to be optimistic. There is a decline in population, there's no question about it. And you're not going to stop somebody who wants to move out of the city to go for another job or to retire or something like that. You're going to do it. And who moves to Pittsburgh? Do you ever hear anybody move from Boca or Palm Beach to Pittsburgh? You don't hear about that.
Can I ask a question? Pittsburgh is somewhat unique in that the Jewish community is centered within the city limits. Do you have any thoughts about why Pittsburgh has maintained a Jewish community still in the city?
Well, that's where the demand is. That would be the reason for it. But, there's going to be a JCC building in Mount Lebanon. I don't know if you're familiar with that or not. So to accommodate I think 6,000 people out there or something like that. And Fox Chapel just got a new synagogue.
Well, they always had a small JCC in the South Hills. Are they building a new facility?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, there's a $4 million campaign going on right now for the new facility in the South Hills.
Well, with the younger families moving out of the city and the schools growing, do you think it's...
Pardon me, there's some coming back, too, you know. Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Do you think that it's because there is a movement towards a more spiritual movement, or a movement less secular, maybe, coming back into traditional Judaism?
I don't quite follow you.
Do you think that there were... Because the community is shrinking, but mm-hmm. yet the day schools are growing.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that's happening?
Well, I think first of all, the poor public school system that we have here is one primary reason for it. I mean, parents do not want to send their children to public schools. They can't afford or don't want to send them to private schools such as Shadyside or Winchester Ellis. So they send them to day schools. And that's one of the reasons the day schools are growing. And I think there's a return to Judaism on the part of many young people. I mean, I see that in Federation activities. I see people that you never really would have expected to be active, that are in the day-to-day involvement, want to be more and more active. And they've involved a lot of people, brought a lot of people into the system. And that's good, of course. But the day schools are growing. It's interesting. I know yeshivas, since my son has gotten involved in it, it's grown from maybe 100, 150 to over 400. I mean, I'll have two buildings this coming year.
In what period of time is that?
7, 8 years. 9 years, maybe. It's growing, no question. Oh, of course, the yeshiva is somewhat different. They bring in some people from out of the city, Kansas City, there's some from Portland, Oregon. They come from all over Austin, Texas. It has an excellent reputation, and those cities do not have good yeshivas, or good day school education. So these people, of course, are very Orthodox, very religious, and they send their children here to Pittsburgh.
And those children board with Pittsburgh families?
With Pittsburgh families. With religion, with Orthodox families.
For their entire education?
Well, as long as they want to remain here. they go through, if they want to go through high school, they're welcome to go.
Will community day school ever have a high school?
I can't say. I don't know. I think it'd be nice if they did. You stand a good chance of losing those children after grade school. And they could retain them if they had them. If they had a high school, they would retain them.
Mr. Rudolph, what do you feel are your most significant accomplishments?
My family. What else?
There's not much else to say to that.
Oh, it's nice that we've been fortunate in our business. We've been fortunate in our children, our grandchildren. You know, of course, that's families, I said to you. And it's nice that we've been involved and been active and done whatever we can do, you know. But my significant accomplishment is, and this is yours, is, I'm sure, and yours, it's your family. Well, you know, that's the most important thing.
How do you, the fact that your sons have entered business with you, did they enter business with you right away?
Right out of school.
Right out of school. This is almost repetitive. How do you view your accomplishments?
I don't. I don't think about them, so I really can't answer you. I don't know. What do you think? What do you think about when you think about your accomplishments? I don't think that way. It's really not very important.
Well, I thought that we had a little more to talk about, but Cindy, can you think of anything else to add?
I'm sorry, I can't elaborate on some of the questions like that, but that's, I gave you the answer.
If you could have the ears of the Jewish community, if everybody would listen to what you would think would ensure the health and the future of the Jewish community, do you have any thoughts from having lived in this community for so long? What would continue to make this community strong? What should they continue doing, or what should they do that they haven't been doing?
I don't know. First of all, I'd like to see more of the young people involved, although I said that I think we've done a decent job in getting them involved. But I'd like to see more of those people in the fold, more active. I'd like to see less intermarriage, if we could. But other than that, I think everybody has to live their own life and live by their own choice. I mean, if you want to be reformed, fine. I respect you for that. If you want to be, which I am, and my son is, and my oldest son, Jimmy, I would say, they're at a conservative synagogue, I saw. And, of course, my next son is very, very Orthodox, and very traditional. My daughter is sort of in between Reform and Conservative. Our children are getting a decent Jewish education. They don't go to a Jewish day school, but the weekends at religious school and so on, they go.
Mr. Rudolph, you certainly have added to the Jewish life of this community.
Thank you. I don't know. It hasn't been difficult. It's been a good experience.
I think this community is lucky to have you.
Well, thank you.
Is there anything else you would like to add? Would you like to discuss some of your honorariums?
No. No, because I don't accept them. I mean, those are, I don't like that. If you have an honorarium, you have a dinner, right? And you obligate people to come to dinner. I'd rather call them, solicit them for money, and ask them to come to dinner, because to me there's nothing more boring than to go to one of those dinners. And you hear the same thing over and over again. They're nice, and they raise money, and that's the important thing.
Is there anything you feel that you'd like to touch upon that we haven't touched upon?
Not really. Of course, I haven't thought about it, but not really. I think you've done a good job and covered pretty much everything. you might want to cover.
I'm looking at one other question here.
Just going to go off in about a minute.
Were you involved in Jewish youth groups growing up?
No.
And,
I was busy playing ball.
Again, I'd like to thank you. I certainly have enjoyed it. I know Cindy
has,
too.
Well, it's been my pleasure.
We hope that you have to some degree as well.
I certainly have. It's been very... I'll tell you what, it's given you a chance. All of a sudden, it becomes nostalgic to the extent that you think back about your childhood and your, you know, growing up years that you never think about them. Do you ever think about them? In New York, you're still fresh from them, you know. But do you ever think about them? I don't think about them. Until somebody, you run into somebody or you have a class reunion or something like that that are terrible. Boring.
Yeah?
Are we on?
Yeah.
Oh, we're still on. Oh, I thought we were on. No, they're fun to see, though. I enjoy it. We had our 60th.
Is that right?
Yeah, we had this past summer. Last year. Yeah. Graduated in 35, so that would be 6 years, would be 95.
Did you go to all of them?
Yeah, I did. Whenever we had one, I went. It was fun. I like people, and it was fun.